In 40 right. seconds or less, what did the Senate decide to do with presidential primary?
Senator Dempsey is the one who's taking the lead on that one.
40 seconds or less. Looks like the Senate deadlocked on... I think the wishes were to have a primary and also wished that the state party didn't move to a caucus system. I think they really created a dilemma. The actions that we were going to take were only going to apply for this cycle. And I think because the Senate didn't act on passing the legislation, the state of Missouri will have a February primary.
You're out until the technical on the 25th. Any chance that you'll actually come into a full floor session anytime after that?
No.
Okay, so we're effectively done with this session?
I think so.
Without adjourning?
Yes.
This is basically it? Huh?
This is it.
We'd have to wait for, should the House act and take up and pass the Senate Economic Development Bill, we need to stay in session so that we can receive that bill and Senator Merrick could sign it.
So basically, have you punted on the whole session?
Well, I mean, we're too far apart. I'm talking about the House and Senate to make up the differences or come to any resolution. And of course, Speaker Tilley and the House leadership have repeatedly said that they cannot compromise and give on the sunset provision. And here in the Senate, we can't pass an economic development bill that doesn't place 7-year sunsets on low-income housing tax credit program and historic preservation tax credit program. So it would be why continue on? The differences are irreconcilable at this time, and we can't make them up between now and November 5th.
I've sensed a growing frustration on your part and Senator Dempsey's part, a lot of people's part, as we have progressed through this thing.
Well, it's sorely disappointing not to get an economic development / tax credit reform bill completed, especially after countless hours that have been spent since session ended and even during session to try to get it passed.
Effectively, is this effectively dead now in your mind?
For this time, yes.
They can take up the Senate bill and pass it in the House.
How optimistic are you that's going to happen?
Well, I think by Senator Mayer's comments, I don't think there's a lot of optimism that that's going to occur. But technically, the bill is, we've sent a message over to the House asking him to take up and pass the bill. And there was some negotiation that took place which resulted in the Senate position. The Senate's original position was 4 years for sunset review of those programs, and the bill that passed the Senate was 7 years. And, the other provisions that were taken out of the bill were the more controversial provisions related to the warehousing component of the bill and the tax credit that low-income and elderly renters, the property tax credit they received. Both of those provisions were taken out, but a number of other provisions largely remain in the bill from the discussions that took place this summer.
Somebody's going to play the blame game. Is there anybody to blame for the failure of this session to get the centerpiece bill done, the jobs bill, and to not make a change in the presidential primary?
I think there's a lot of blame to go around. I think that I certainly am members of both houses, the executive branch, the way that I go back to the way that the Airtropolis bill was filed in the first place, and the problems that that legislation had being filed in March and having to be cleaned up. I've not spent a lot of time on blame. I've been spending all my efforts trying to pass the legislation. Those people who receive hundreds of millions of dollars for these tax credit programs and wanted to defend those programs, it's a real disappointment to be sitting here and not be talking about an accomplishment.
Rob?
Well, I think from the time we had announced that we had an agreement back in late July, we had a lot of powerful forces outside the building that have worked hard to defeat the legislation, had people, lobbyists inside the building that have worked hard to defeat it. Show Me Institute, the low-income tax credit housing developers, I guess to some extent the Tea Party. So, I mean, there's been a lot of powerful forces out there that since the end of July that have been working against passing this piece of legislation. A lot of events have occurred since we made the announcement. The MAMTEC factory there in Moberly failing and defaulting on their loan certainly has played a part. So there's several different entities and circumstances and events that have taken place since then that have harmed our ability to pass the bill.
Any real chance for this in a regular session?
I'd like to think that next year in a regular session that we could pass some legislation dealing with economic development and certainly tax credit reform. But at this time, I wouldn't be very optimistic that that will happen.
Two bills have come out of this special session. One is tied to the failed economic development bill, and the other one, the Facebook fix that Governor Nixon's staff had initially said falls outside the scope. Has this been a wasted 2 months?
Well, Marshall, it's, as I mentioned earlier, I'm sorely disappointed in what has taken place the last several weeks, and nobody is any more disappointed or no one put forth any greater effort for this to succeed than I have and Senator Dempsey, and so it's a disappointment, great disappointment.
Are there lessons? This may be hard to assess right now, but are there lessons that you've learned in the last 2 months that you'll be able to build on starting in January?
I think most definitely, Bob. I'm talking about there are things that I have learned as we move forward that I think will be helpful in the next session, and it's a tough way to learn, but certainly.
Without giving away secrets, what have you learned?
Let me gather my thoughts, and we'll talk about that on another day.
Would it have helped? One person noticeably absent in the hallways was the governor himself, who called a special session. Would it have helped if he personally had been here?
Well, the governor had taken part behind the scenes in a lot of discussions, not only with the senators but also House leadership from time to time, and at this point, I'm not going to point the blame at any one particular person. I'm just not going to.
You're clearly not going to get the Senator Schmidt's resolution introduced today about the Boeing situation. The House has already voted to support some folks in Texas instead. Does the fact that Senator Schmidt introduced the resolution help send the kind of message he was hoping, or do you need to actually have a vote on that at some point?
I think that his drafting and filing the resolution certainly is a positive message to Boeing, and I think if not all, but many of the senators signed on to that resolution, and that should be pretty strong proof that we do appreciate their presence here in the state and the many people that they employ, and we want to assist and be supportive of their efforts in the future.
Senator, the intention
on what Phil had asked earlier, I remember sitting outside the office that you now occupy night after night with Governor Ashcroft and Democratic leaders of a Democratic majority legislature. Several, I can't count the number of nights we were there until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, the governor trying to craft a compromise on a major piece of legislation. Could Governor Nixon's intervention on that scale have saved this bill?
It's difficult for me to assess that, Rudy. I think that the House has pretty much been committed to the low-income housing tax credit program and historic tax credit program in the belief that that is a good; those are good economic development programs. And so, yes, there could have been some positive steps that the governor could have taken to assist in passing the bill. However, I believe he did put forth some strong efforts behind the scenes.
How can I ask you at this point, Senator Dempsey, what kind of shape the majority is in the state Senate? You seem to have a division or two or several.
Well, I mean, we're getting back to the economic development tax credit reform bill, of which, we didn't pass a bill 2 years ago. We passed a bill on two occasions this year. I think the challenge has been is how the Senate and House bridges the divides that we have. And I think, you know, much has been made about, you know, one-party control. I think, frankly, term limits have a lot to do with the state of how we've been operating with a number of senators retiring and, you know, not really having a long-term perspective and working with other members. And, you know, and we have House members that are looking to move up or move onward. And I think all those things make it that much harder to pass substantive legislation. But, you know, we've got a great group of people here. I believe that the philosophy behind the bill, certainly here in the Senate, the importance of getting a better return on investment, you know, programs that get 16 cents on the dollar or 11 cents on the dollar, you know, I think the Senate spoke pretty loudly that that's not acceptable. And we're going to continue to, I think, operate that way in the future. And, you know, I know that there are some other ideas on how to pursue tax credit reform. And, you know, I'll say again, it's extremely disappointing, but I think we're going to go home. We're going to reflect on what has transpired from, you know, May to today and find out, you know, what do we need to do to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Do you mean going to the ballot when you say other ideas for how to pursue tax credit reform? Or did you mean other ideas within the legislative process?
Yeah, other ideas within the legislative process.
What do you say to the Speaker's persistent complaint that the Senate is broken?
Well, I mean, I say this. We passed two economic development bills, one back in the spring that saved the state over $1.5 billion over 15 years and also implemented some very important economic development provisions. We came back and in a matter of 7 days, it cost the state about $38,600, and passed another economic development bill that saves the state $947 million over 15 years and still puts in place all the key economic development tools that we wanted to pass. So, I mean, I don't know how much more effective you can be.
It's a technical question, but is the Senate for sure not coming back except for technical session? This is the last day of full membership meeting.
That's what I expect.
So the House is left with a take it or leave it.
Yes, that's where we're at this point.
Yeah. Do you want the governor to sign the MOSIRA bill, even with the other bill has to pass or it's not effective?
You know, I'd be supportive of the governor signing the MOSIRA bill.
I'd like to address one of Virginia's questions. You talked about the Speaker and his saying that the Senate is broken. I think the Senate has shown a tremendous amount of leadership in the last few years, leading structural changes to the budget. You know, and we are in unprecedented times in the state and the revenue clients that we've had to deal with. And the Senate was the body that led on pension reform. The Senate is the body that has led on tax credit reform. The Senate was the body that led on the elimination of state holidays, a few state holidays, something as small as that. The Senate was the body that led on you know, changes to the criminal system.
I might also add the Senate took the lead just 2 years ago on making $500 million in reductions when the governor and the House failed to do so, even though they knew that the proposal by the governor was over $500 million out of balance.
I just think that we've worked hard, and I would say Republicans and Democrats alike on this side of the building, to fix problems so that our revenue is in line with our expenses. And I'm proud of a lot of that work.